Mayor Alvin Brown and challenger Lenny Curry advance to a May runoff. They'll call into this show live in just a moment. Good Wednesday morning. And live from Studio 5, this is First Coast Connect on 89.9. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Melissa Ross. First Coast Connect, always live on the radio. And now catch our daily podcast on iTunes. Never miss a show. Just ahead, both Mayor Brown and Lenny Curry join the program as we discuss last night's election results. We'll take your calls, too. Get on the line now at 549-2937. Then later, Going Green profiles Fresh Ministries, plus the music of Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton, live on stage at the Alhambra. We'll talk to the stars. All of that coming up this hour. But first this morning, Mayor Alvin Brown was the top vote getter last night in the first election for Jacksonville, as voters went to the polls to decide a slew of races for mayor, sheriff, city council, and the supervisor of elections. Both the mayor and his challenger, Lenny Curry, will advance to a May runoff. Right now, we have Mayor Brown live on the phone to talk about last night's win and the road ahead. Mayor Brown, good morning.
Good morning, Melissa. Thanks for having me this morning.
Great to have you on the show. Congrats on the showing last night. You came out about 7,700 votes ahead of Lenny Curry. Can you tell us a little bit about your strategy for the next 2 months as you and your challenger now fight for votes in the May runoff?
Well, you know, I feel motivated. That turnout across the city was good. We had, like you said, a strong first place finish, and show that our grassroots army of supporters spreading our positive message could combat millions of dollars of false and negative ad attacks. So I'm looking forward to discussing the issues on how we can continue to put Jacksonville first over the next 2 months and fighting for every vote. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to fight for every vote. I'm going to focus on making sure we take Jacksonville to the next level by, you know, focusing on jobs, 36,000 new jobs. You know, we're the number one city in the country if you want to start a business, and second, according to Forbes magazine, if you're looking for a job. So focusing on education and all the things people care about, but running a very positive campaign. And then, you know, I think for those, my good friend like Bill Bishop, you know, Bill and I are friends. In fact, our families have gone to dinner together, roast marshmallows, agree on everything, but he does put Jacksonville first, and I respect that. So, you know, we've worked together on many issues, and I hope to continue working with Bill, even though he won't be a part of city council any longer. And I really hope to show the people who supported him how I can serve them well. And so I want the vote of everyone in Jacksonville. I will fight for the vote, fight for the voter and their support, including Bill's. And I'm excited about the future. A lot of energy. There's going to be a clear contrast, and this race is about the future of Jacksonville. We're doing well. The economy's going well. We're moving in the right direction. And they're going to have a clear choice.
It sounds as though you will seek Bill Bishop's endorsement, hoping to tap into the energy around his campaign. He finished third, drawing around 17% of the vote. Is that part of your strategy in the next 8 weeks?
Well, I want the vote of everyone in Jacksonville. Every voter, you know, in Jacksonville will fight for their support, including Bill's support. I want him to vote for the mayor. And I think that's important. You know, when you think about it, Melissa, I'm the only candidate who has a proven track record on working with everyone, Republicans, Democrats, independent, bringing people together, improving the quality of life. I have a track record on that. And I spent the last 4 years reaching out to the community all over this city, and I'll continue to do that. And that's my record.
And when you say there's a clear choice between you and your challenger, Lenny Curry, Lenny Curry has been critical of your record on public safety, pensions, overall leadership. How will you try to make the case to the voters who supported Mr. Curry in this election? He drew about 38% of the vote last night.
Well, I think, you know, the false and negative attacks had some impact, and I think the key is making sure we have a clear message and make the case. You know what? The mayor didn't raise taxes. I did not raise taxes. I've invested in prevention and intervention. I focus on investing in after-school programs and supporting education by appointing the first commissioner of education in the history of Jacksonville, and we did it for $1 thanks to Jacksonville University. We've launched the mayor's mentors. We have 600 caring adults in the schools, working with young people. We've launched the Mayor's Learn to Earn, giving young people an opportunity to reach their God-given potential. And the other thing, Melissa, which is very, very strong record on working with the nonprofit community and the faith-based community, working with communities and schools, United Way with their Achiever for Life program. It's important for me to communicate that, you know, I've been working with all these organizations, Boys and Girls Club, Family Foundation, Team Up, which is in the Children's Commission, and early literacy programs. All of those things we've been working with, those organizations, institutions who provide us resources, including the faith-based community. So I'm excited about it. We'll make our message clear, and I think the voters will make the right choice. They're going to reelect Alvin Brown based on his record, making things happen, putting Jacksonville first.
That's Mayor Alvin Brown, the top vote getter last night. Thanks for calling into the show. We'll speak to you soon.
Thank you.
And in a moment, Lenny Curry will join the program to talk about his showing last night and his path ahead to the May runoff. Right now, we're joined by Florida Politics AG Gankarski and UNF pollster Mike Bender. Your thoughts last night? Let's begin with you, Mike.
I thought it was an interesting evening, and I think the mayor's race shook out how a lot of folks expected, obviously with the mayor kind of leading the pack, but still having to go to May. And the next 2 months, as you mentioned, and as the mayor talked about, are going to be very, very interesting.
AG, it's going to be quite competitive based on the numbers and the polling we've seen.
Right. And, you know, you have to ask yourself, the mayor got 43% last night in a four-person field. You know, his approval rating last time we, you know, heard about was 55%. So you have to wonder what the mayor's ceiling might be coming out of the election last night. You know, he acknowledged in this call the false and negative attacks a couple of times. Talked about looking forward to working with Bill Bishop. But, you know, the thing that happened last night is that, you know, Bishop's critiques of the mayor on, you know, things like the HRO, the pension, the taxes, the budget issues, and so on, they clearly resonated. I mean, 17% for a candidate that raised like a little over $100,000 suggests a significant protest vote. And I know that Lenny Curry's people are looking to capitalize on that. I talked to Brian Hughes last night at the event.
And his campaign manager.
Exactly. Well, spokesperson. But, you know, Hughes was saying that, you know, Curry and Bishop were basically simpatico on issues, and, you know, they were both agents of change. So that's a new message from the Curry campaign.
Both campaigns obviously will want the endorsement of Bill Bishop right now. He's a kingmaker in the city of Jacksonville. Mike, where will Bishop's voters go? That's the big question.
Well, from the polling work that we did last month, it's not as clear-cut as one might think. Even though he was a Democrat, he ran to the left on a lot of issues, as AJ was just saying, particularly on taxes.
He's
and
a
pension.
Republican, you mean?
He is a Republican, yeah. But he ran to the left, I'm sorry, of Alvin Brown, and he got a lot of votes from Democrats. Now, are those Democrats going to vote for Alvin Brown, or are they just not going to show up?
Or will they go to Lenny Curry?
I'm skeptical that Democrats are going to go to Lenny Curry. Now, there's Republicans who voted for Bishop that very well may, but the Democrats are really the interesting piece here. Do they go to Brown? Do they stay home? What do they do?
I think the issue that's going to come into play is, you know, the crime record, the obvious schism between Rutherford and Brown that has manifested over the last 4 years. That's something that the Curry and Mike Williams side are going to be able to really exploit, because they've got a unified message, basically a unified ticket. The Republicans I talked to last night were very excited about the synergy there. It allows them to have a unified message that they wouldn't have had if, say, Holderfield had made the runoff. There would have been some divergence there. But with Curry and Williams, they can unify their messaging. This can be very economical for them. And, you know, the mayor's going to have to find a counter strategy very quickly.
We will talk about the sheriff's race and the other races last night in just a moment. If you're just tuning in, First Coast Connect live this morning with full election results. Mayor Brown just joined the show. Now we have Lenny Curry on the line to talk about last night's numbers. Lenny, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great, and congratulations. You made it into the runoff, 38% of the vote. Share with us a little bit about your thoughts as you look ahead to the next 8 weeks.
Yeah, Melissa, thanks for having me. You know, when I started this race almost a year ago, going in, I knew I was the underdog. So many people and voices around me said, this is an uphill battle. You're running against an incumbent mayor that's got the Clinton machine behind him, that's going to be well-funded from the Democratic National Committee and the Democratic Party in the state of Florida, high approval ratings, popular. But you know what? I came up with a plan and a message and a vision and kept it real simple and went door to door almost every day, phone to phone, talking to voters face to face, sharing my vision, but also listening to them, understanding what families are experiencing in Jacksonville every day. And we're in the game. I'm in the game. I remain the underdog. But I'm grateful to be where I am and going to continue with the plan.
Let me ask you the same question we asked the mayor a moment ago, Lenny. Will you seek the endorsement of Bill Bishop, the third place finisher last night?
Yeah, I left Councilman Bishop a voicemail last night. And I actually spoke to him also yesterday morning. He has served honorably on council. In fact, he held a lot of things together as a council president, as a member of council when the mayor was submitting budgets that didn't balance. He added so much to the debate, to the debates and the discussion in this mayor's race in terms of ideas. So yeah, I want Bill Bishop's support. I want the support of everyone that voted for him. And, you know, Bill Bishop and I are both Republicans. We don't agree on every single issue, but we both got into this race because we both agreed that it was time for new leadership in Jacksonville and time for a new mayor. At a time when budgets don't balance, at a time when violence and crime is skyrocketing, at a time when economics are not as rosy as the mayor may paint them, it's time for new leadership.
And what's the campaign strategy, the Curry campaign strategy, to pull the energy, as AG Gankarski just said? The folks that came out for Bishop were basically making a protest vote, weren't happy with the choices from the two front runners. How do you see yourself tapping into some of that energy and pulling it to your side?
Melissa, I'm just going to, again, go person to person and you know, start with the folks that were energized and working directly with Bill Bishop, and just share my vision, talk to them, understand what they care about, and talk about where Jacksonville needs to head in the future. Look, the opportunities, I'm so optimistic on where Jacksonville is going to be in the years ahead. Our better days are ahead of us. There's no question in my mind, but it's clear, it's crystal clear, Jacksonville is at a crossroads right now. I mean, I really want your listeners to absorb this. The mayor's budgets haven't balanced. Taxes did go up on his watch because he handed council a budget that didn't add up. It had more spending than it did have in sources of revenue. Violent crime and murder have spiked over the last 4 years. We were at a 40-year low in violent crime 4 years ago. And that's because previous to this administration, we were investing in enforcement, meaning we had more officers on the street. But we were also really investing in programs that worked for children, after-school programs, programs for ex-offenders to get them, integrate them back in society. This administration, Mayor Alan Brown, has not been serious about that over the last 4 years. We've been financially mismanaged, and better days ahead. I'm the guy to lead us to better days.
Lenny Curry, congratulations on advancing to the May runoff against incumbent Mayor Alvin Brown, and thanks so much for joining the program. We look forward to speaking with you again soon.
Always a pleasure being with you, Melissa. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks again. And the number to join the show as we discuss all of last night's election results this morning on First Coast Connect is 549-2937. Mike Bender, your thoughts on Curry's campaign?
Well, Curry's campaign, it was in an interesting position starting out a year or so ago when he indicated he could get into this. Nobody knew who he was locally, and he really didn't have great name recognition, and he's built that. I mean, he spent a lot of money and a lot of campaign dollars trying to do that, but he's built that. And even though he came in second place, he was at, you know, 38-ish%, you have to wonder, is this a springboard now that people know who he is, that they're more willing to open? Or did he tap out and say, listen, you know, the Republicans did fairly well last night, and he only got 38%. So what does that tell you? So there's undecided questions there.
And let's talk quickly about some of the other races before we go to the phones. Let's talk about the sheriff's race for a moment and the supervisor of elections race. In the runoff for May, Democrat Ken Jefferson, a very familiar face and name around town from being on TV for years in the city, top vote getter last night with 36%, edging into the runoff with 22% Republican Mike Williams. AG, you just said the Republicans like the synergy between Curry and Williams. I'm sure the count on the other side of the coin, the Democrats probably like the synergy between Brown and Jefferson. They probably see if Brown carries the day in May, that will help Jefferson down ticket too.
It could. There will be a synergy there, but it's not going to be the same type of synergy. I don't expect, Brown and Jefferson do a lot of stumping together. I do expect to see Williams and Curry making a lot of appearances together, speaking from the same playbook. And I talked to Sheriff Rutherford last night briefly. He was very excited about the way that the runoff shapes up. He says that there's stark differences between the experience that Williams has and the experience that Jefferson has that, voters will come to appreciate in terms of management style, in terms of credibility, in terms of what they've done in the department. The sheriff seems to believe that Williams has a lot more significant experience than Jefferson does. And I think that's going to be the play they make.
And of course, his endorsement will carry some weight. Mike Binder, can Jefferson's name recognition give him the edge in this contest?
I'm not sure. I think AG is right in his assessment, and I think they're right about the optimism from the Williams team. It shakes out well for him. If you look at this on a partisan level, even though you don't want to say that about sheriff's races, the Democrats didn't get anywhere near 50%. They didn't even get over 40. So I think Jefferson has a tough hill to climb. But that being said, it's certainly not out of the question. If Brown's team can put together a good effort, it could trickle down ticket toward him.
Let's talk quickly about the SOE. Mike Hogan, who of course ran for mayor and lost in 2011, edges out Tracy Davis, the deputy supervisor of elections. It's Hogan, our next supervisor of elections, replacing Jerry Holland, who becomes property appraiser.
Right. And, Hogan, has the name recognition. He has a credibility in the community. Tracy Davis made a competence-based case. I know the Republicans got a little bit worried about it, toward the end of early voting. They released a press release with some claims about Tracy Davis that, they stand by. I asked him last night, and then, Robin Lum said it was factual, just like he said when I asked him about it Friday. Hogan comes in. I've reached out to the Hogan side to see if Tracy Davis is going to be retained in the same role. That seems to be an obvious olive branch that could happen. But they ran a pretty, clean campaign. It was just something that kind of...
On both sides.
Yeah, and it kind of proves what the generic Republican versus Democrat split might be in the city. About a 10-point advantage for the Republican side.
Mike, do you agree?
I do to some extent. I think Tracy Davis's problem was there wasn't a lot of money, there wasn't a lot of attention put on this race. And nobody knew who she was that hasn't dealt with the supervisor before. And the vast majority of us have not dealt with the supervisor
sure.
election directly. Those of us that have know her. And absolutely, Mike Hogan's name recognition in this is pretty prolific. And I think if it were, Mike Smith, it might have been a different outcome.
And name recognition carried the day for several city council representatives, notably John Kresh and Benny, winning at-large group two. Some other incumbents returned office like Matt Schellenberg, Greg Anderson. Let's talk about some of these other city council races quickly. In particular, group one, Anna Broche and Kimberly Daniels going ahead to a runoff in that contest.
Yeah, and that was an interesting dynamic because Broche had a lot of money, the chamber endorsement, industry endorsements. She's been to committee meetings and everything like that for the last year. Very well-prepared candidate. But Kim Daniels has a network support that is nationwide. She has a radio show 5 days a week. So you have really a tale of two candidacies. And, Daniels had so many scandals hit her over the last few weeks.
And it didn't affect her tally at all.
Right. She still got 41. And the socially conservative Republicans, they like Daniels because of her stand on the HRO.
She's against it.
They don't trust Broche because Broche is pro-HRO and they think that's inconsistent with the Duval GOP.
Chamber Republicans, Mike, would you agree that with AG, they didn't have the best night? More moderate Republicans.
Moderate Republicans didn't do particularly well, but Anna Broche is in the runoff, and she does have a chance to gobble up the rest of Taylor's votes. There's votes out there to be had for her. I think it shapes up fairly well. I think it's going to be a very close race, and I think there's going to be a lot more money poured into that race.
And in at-large group three, former Mayor Tommy Hazzouri into the runoff. Right behind him, Republican Jeff Youngblood. You've got a traditional Southern Democrat facing off against a socially conservative Republican in that race.
Right, and Jeff Youngblood needs to send Missy Pollock a gift basket.
The other Democrat in that race.
Right. Pollock sheared off like 10% or so, give or take. It shapes up well for Hazzouri because Hazzouri's got the name recognition. He's not a liberal Democrat by any stretch of the imagination. Youngblood ran a faith and family values and flag kind of campaign. That iconography obviously resonated with significant portion of the electorate. And, you know, I think a lot what's going to drive this race ultimately is the mayoral race. If Curry can make the sale, that helps Youngblood. If Brown makes a sale, then, you know, that definitely helps Missouri.
Yeah. And then in at-large group five, Jacoby Pittman almost cleared the 50% mark. Democrat Jacoby Pittman, who runs the Clara White Mission. Two Republicans in that race, Michelle Tapuni, had a lot of moderate chamber and business support. She did not make the runoff. Jacoby Pittman facing off against Sam Newby for at-large group five.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a surprise to me how well she did in that. To come out at 46%, you know, that's a big number. And granted, even though the Republicans, if you total up their totals, they're over 50, I don't know that all those votes are going to go to Newby. And I think there's an opportunity there. And I think that's going to be a seat that the Democrats can definitely hold.
Right. Newby basically represented the Tea Party wing, African-American conservative Republican. And he was at the forums. He didn't have much money, but what he did have was that party structure support. And I think that carried a day for him. And Tapuni really underperformed in terms of, you know, the way she ran the race, in terms of, you know, her endorsements, her fundraising. I think everybody expected her to be far more competitive. So, again, that speaks to the strength of the Tea Party wing.
Jacoby also had the backing of Congresswoman Corrine Brown, who apparently advised her to go for an at-large seat. It looks as though that was good advice.
It looks like it was great advice. At this point, she certainly, you know, it looks like the Congresswoman was picking well.
And here's an email from Bill in Springfield. My thoughts on Anna Broche and Michelle Tapuni races. Both polished Republicans, they raised far more money than their opponents that they lost to in terms of raw votes. But they both lost, not both of them lost, but got less votes. Probably not a coincidence. Both supported the Human Rights Ordinance, while their more socially conservative opponents did not. It goes to show how strong socially conservative political networks are in Jacksonville. Agree or disagree?
I don't know that I entirely agree with that. Look, I'm not going to say that Jacksonville is a bastion of liberal socialism by any stretch of the imagination. But there were two Republicans in those races that were splitting votes. So if you're thinking about this just as a HRO issue, I would question how many voters actually even knew the positions of those candidates on those issues, particularly in the city council races.
AG.
There was a mailer that went out basically listing the anti-HRO candidates and the pro-HRO candidates and drawing the distinction, basically saying the pro-HRO candidates were endorsed by the LGBT Leadership Pack, which has had its own issues recently. But that being said, I think the socially conservative candidates have the networks of churches. They have community networks, and the more socially liberal candidates are relying on word of mouth and, you know, basically people to come together in groups like the Young Voters Coalition. But those are new ad hoc groups. These churches have been around for generations. These networks have been around for generations. And I think they've been discounted in the analysis throughout this election.
That's a good point. And we're taking your calls now. Let us know your thoughts about last night's election results, 549-2937. James is calling from downtown. Hi, James. What are you thinking this morning?
Well, I was wanting to call about the mayoral race. I was a supporter of Bill Bishop's because I thought his experience as a city council member would be an asset to any mayor. And now that he's out of the race, I'm leaning toward voting for Lenny Curry because I've kind of found that Mayor Brown is disingenuous and he hasn't been a very effective leader, and crime being up and budgets that don't balance. And I think it's just time for a change. And Lenny Curry and his experience look like a good reason to support him. I think that he'd do a good job. As a small business owner, I can relate to the things that he goes through, and I think those are characteristics that are necessary in City Hall.
That's James calling from downtown. Thanks for the call, James. Of course, that's one former Bishop supporter. Both campaigns will be trying to sway the Jameses of Jacksonville.
Yes, absolutely. And I think the one thing that might be overlooked here is that 2% vote that Omega Allen got.
Yes.
I really think this is going to be a very close race in May. If you look back 4 years ago, it was literally,
1,600 votes.
Yeah, not even 2,000 votes. And guess who got more than 1,600 votes last night? So her supporters, it'll be interesting to see. You know, Lenny Curry's been very supportive of her in the election.
Invited her to our debate.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens to her supporters.
Bill in Mandarin, thanks for holding, Bill. Good morning.
Good morning. It's the mayor's race to lose. Three reasons why I say that. One, he got a pretty good ad support from Rutherford, and obviously it didn't do that much for Curry. Second, if it only takes, if he just gets one-third of the bishop's vote, he's got the 50% plus. And then thirdly, I think if you guys will do a what we call a recount, where you say, okay, forget the votes cast for the other two candidates in this race and just count the percent of just the voters for the two winners, you'll probably see that the mayor's over the 50% line there already. So just my thoughts. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. As Bill just pointed out, in May, the two candidates running for mayor and sheriff and the other races have to just draw 50% of the votes plus one. Here's an email from Beth. Why does this runoff exist? Can you please explain what this is all about?
Well, this was actually the primary election that we went through last night. Because it's an open primary, kind of a jungle primary, if you will, everybody can run. If you get to 50, you get to skip the general election. So we haven't had the general election yet is really what the answer is.
Right, exactly right. And as Bill pointed out, AG, all the candidates that are moving ahead must draw 50% plus one additional vote.
Right, but I don't know if last night's results are necessarily predictive of what's going to happen in May. You're going to see a lot of different messaging. You're going to see people going back to their party structures in many cases, something that has favored Republicans historically in the city. There are Democrats who aren't happy with Alvin Brown because of the crime issue, because of the budget issues and related issues. It's going to be, there's going to be a lot of ball to be played here, basically, to borrow a metaphor.
And as one of you pointed out earlier, Lenny Curry can count on strong Republican support. Can Alvin Brown bring disaffected Democrats home? Will Bill Clinton, for example, come in and do another big rally for the mayor to bring those voters into the fold at the last minute?
The short answer is I don't know. The bigger answer is that the Brown campaign hasn't really made a play for them. He's in debates talking about Rick Scott. He's running to the right, focusing on no new taxes. He brought Bill Clinton to town, and it was a private event that nobody knew about. He's essentially running from the Democratic Party. Now, will those voters vote for Lenny Curry? I don't think so. But will those voters show up, I think, is the better question. And how effective are they going to be in their turnout machine? And if you look at some of the totals last night, they did pretty well in the Northwest.
You know, I think the corollary to this race is actually the Louisiana Senate race from last year, where you had campaign ops from both of these campaigns working. Landrieu beat Cassidy in the first election. The second election saw, virtually all of the support going to Cassidy. And Landrieu was running from behind, basically, as the campaign progressed, and she wasn't able to make up the difference. And I think that's the model that the Curry people are counting on, and that's the model that the Brown people need to watch out for.
And some of the people that worked on Mary Landrieu's campaign in Louisiana are now on the ground here in Jacksonville on the Brown team.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting dynamic, too. 549-2937. Let's go to Susan in Mandarin. Hey, Susan, you're on the air.
Hello. Good morning. I was wondering about something that Curry just said. He said that the budget wasn't balanced, but I thought in the debate, Alvin Brown said that it's a law that the budget has to balance. Could you tell me which one of those are true? And then my second question is, why do you think so few people came out to vote? Okay, thank you.
Sure. Thanks, Susan. Appreciate both of those points.
So first, the balanced budget issue. It's true, the budget does have to balance. The issue that Lenny Curry was talking about was the fact that the budget that Alvin Brown proposed had some assumptions in it, and it had some deals in it that weren't actually done, particularly with the pension. And it also had some different outlooks as far as economic growth over the coming year than the rest of the city council had. That was kind of what the differences were there. The turnout to vote, actually, we did pretty well last night.
Over 30%.
33%, which was better than March 4 years ago. When we have elections in these weird off-cycle years, turnout is going to be down. It's just the way that it works.
Yeah, if there's not a presidential election on the ballot, it's hard to get above 50%.
Yeah, and there's a counter argument in favor of that. You get more informed voters, people who actually have a stake in the local elections rather than voting for party identification or whatever. But looking at the budget issue, I mean, this is something that Lenny Curry is going to hit Alvin Brown with, hard, because, he has questioned the accounting, from day one in this race. He's talked about his experience as an accountant. He's talked about the mayor's budgets being dangerous. And basically, we've seen 4 years of starving the beast. Not many new revenue sources except for the millage rate increase in 2013, which the mayor acquiesced to. And this is something that, you know, Lenny Curry is going to make a case. You know, every time there's a shooting in Northwest Jacksonville, every time there's an issue with, you know, pension discussions, anything like that, that's going to be Lenny Curry's refrain.
The one candidate, though, that said the only solution is a tax increase is out of the race. We now have two candidates who are saying we're not going to raise taxes when many of the minds behind closed doors at the council chamber say that's really the only option.
Yeah, and while Lenny Curry hasn't come out and said I'm going to raise taxes, if you read between the lines, it looks like he might be open to it in certain circumstances. The mayor has come out flatly and has been saying for years that he won't. So it's a very interesting dynamic where you have the Republican, both Bishop and maybe Curry, thinking about tax increases and talking about government not doing enough relative to what goes on a national scale. It's very, very interesting.
It really is. And before we wrap things up, we do need to make a quick note of the two referenda that were on the ballot last night. Well, one was a referendum, one was a straw ballot. Duval voters overwhelmingly approved a residency requirement for Duval County employees going forward now. The path is set for if you work for the city, you have to live in Duval.
Well, it was only a straw ballot.
It's only a
straw ballot, so it's not legally binding by any stretch of the imagination. And I can't help but think that if this were to actually show up on a referendum, the unions would be out in opposition to this.
And they'll try to defeat it?
I think this would get nowhere near 50%. I think once people start seeing what this is all about, how it could potentially negatively impact the police force in particular.
Because so many live outside the county.
And we have trouble retaining quality police officers as it is from competition from other municipalities. I think this would not get the 50% if it hit the ballot.
And also voting yes, you, the voters, said yes to amending the ethics and inspector general provisions for city government. That has been something that the ethics chief, Carla Miller, had been pushing for some time.
Right. And, you know, it's a classic good government move. It's another layer of oversight, a non-controversial position. I'm not surprised it passed.
So your final thoughts, guys, about the next 8 weeks?
I think it's going to be negative, and it's going to be interesting to see how long the Brown team holds out. They played it fairly close to the vest. They played a fairly positive message. Do they start striking back against the negative ads that have both come out of the Curry camp so far?
I think you got to watch Rick Scott. When and if does Rick Scott endorse Lenny Curry? I think that's going to be a game changer, and I think that's going to happen maybe at the beginning of early voting because Alvin Brown's been running a lot on Rick Scott and his relationship with Scott, but Lenny Curry has a relationship with Rick Scott that Alvin Brown can never have.
We will continue to follow it. In the meantime, as always, thanks for your analysis. We so appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
We were joined by UNF's Mike Binder and Florida Politics AG Gankarski discussing last night's primary election results. More to come later, how Kenny and Dolly are making sweet music on a Jacksonville stage. But up next, today's Going Green. Back in a moment.
The Dinosaur Train is rolling into Orange Park. Thrasher Horn Center and WJCT present Jim Henson's Dinosaur Train Live, Buddy's Big Adventure, on Tuesday, May 12 at 6 p.m. See the beloved stars of the hit PBS series come to life on stage in your hometown for the first time. Join Buddy, Tiny, King, Don, and their family and friends in this fun-filled, interactive musical trip back in time. Tickets are on sale now at 904-276-6815 or thcenter.org.
WJCTnews.org is your source for the latest local, national, and international news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Podcasts of your favorite local stories and shows, the WJCT First Read every weekday morning, and playlists from all of our after-hours music programming. From your computer or mobile device, see it all at WJCTnews.org.
Well, Welcome back. An interesting aquaponics project, both in Haiti and in our areas. The topic of today's Going Green. Dr. Robert Lee, founder and CEO of Fresh Ministries in the city, here to tell us more. Good morning.
Good morning, Melissa. How are you?
Great, thanks. Thanks for being with us. What's this project all about?
Well, it's about something we've been doing overseas for some time. We started in Haiti and sub-Saharan Africa, where we've been working for a long, long time, as well as in Jacksonville and the Core City neighborhoods. But it's about growing food in food deserts, supplying opportunities to people who don't have jobs and businesses to have jobs and businesses growing food, and in unique, high-tech sorts of ways. And
how so?
Well, what it looks like is aquaponics is really a combination of hydroponics and aquaculture. And what I mean by that is aquaculture is growing fish, and hydroponics is growing food, produce.
Growing the plants in water.
In water, right. Yeah. So when you put the two together, you have aquaponics. And what it looks like is, well, in a 6,000 square foot greenhouse, you would have, oh, say five or six 2,000-gallon tanks, each holding 600 tilapia. And then also in the greenhouse are long, long troughs that are filled with water. And on top of the water float rafts and with hundreds of little holes. And plants are the seedlings are put in these holes, and they drop their roots down in the water. But what makes this unique is that the tanks with the water are plumbed to the trough, so that the fish waste is circulated as fertilizer into the troughs, and the produce grows very, very quickly. So in a 28-day period, you can grow a full crop of bib lettuce.
Wow. Incredible. And this really goes toward the overall trend towards sustainability.
Well, towards sustainability, it's a way that people in food deserts can get more food, because the productivity is about four or five times that of normal soil growing. Also, you know, in areas where there's not a lot of water, you're only using about 5% of the water of normal soil growing. So what that means for us here in Jacksonville is, you know, in some of these spaces, empty spaces where we've been building a lot of homes over the years, a lot of us, we can use 1 acre to put six of these greenhouses, each one very productive. And so we're about the business at the Weaver Center, just very near the stadium, training people in aquaponics and letting them have some hands-on time in the greenhouse.
That's incredible, because the food desert problem in our city is a significant mm-hmm. one. This is an innovative solution.
Well, I think so, and we hope so, and we think so. And, you know, the other problem is just educating people with regard to healthy eating, healthy living, and you know, what they should be putting into their bodies. So, you know, the hope here, Melissa, and it's something that we feel very strongly about, is if we can take some of the green space or the empty space and turn it into green space and provide people the opportunities to have their own businesses in aquaponics in the Core City neighborhoods, you've suddenly brought economic development, a burgeoning economy, and given them an equity stake in this. So it's something that's a win-win all the way around.
How can people find out more and get involved?
Well, the best way is to go to our website, which is www.freshministries.org. And if anybody wants to get involved, they can. They can get more information. We're doing crowdfunding, which has taken off, and lots of likes, and we love to see it.
It's aquaponics here in Duval County, as Dr. Robert Lee, founder and CEO of Fresh Ministries, joins the show this morning, an incredible initiative, part of our Going Green series. Dr. Lee, thank you.
Thank you, Melissa. It's a joy to be with you.
And we're back in a moment with Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton, the tribute show at the Alhambra Theater.
This Going Green segment brought to you by Bug Out Service.
The Florida legislature is in session, and Capitol Report is your nightly connection to what's happening in Tallahassee as lawmakers debate and decide issues that affect all Floridians, such as expanding health care and gambling, protecting the state's water resources, private versus public schools, and prison reform. Hear Capitol Report each weeknight during the legislative session on this Florida public radio station.
That's Tuesday through Friday nights at 6:30 on 89.9 WJCT.
Join WJCT and Sid the Science Kid at Mosh for Nano Days, the biggest event for the smallest science. Meet Sid. Check out his newest Sid the Science Kid Encyclopedia of Discovery DVD and explore nanoscience through hands-on activities. Saturday, March 28th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Learn more at themosh.org.
Funding for this event was provided in part by N-Circle Entertainment.
Wherever you spend your morning, NPR's Morning Edition is there with you. Wherever the story takes place, NPR's Morning Edition connects it with you.
Dallas.
Des Moines.
Topeka.
Montana.
Cleveland.
San Francisco.
Denver.
Philadelphia.
Minneapolis. Miami.
Colorado.
Washington.
You will own your morning wherever you are when you choose to spend tomorrow with Morning Edition from NPR News. Weekday mornings beginning at 5 on 89.9 WJCT, community-supported public radio.
Congratulations to writer James English, winner of the first quarter of The Square. Now it's your chance to show off your art, whether it's music, visual art, sculpture, poetry, and more. Go to wjct.org/The Square, check out the amazing local talent, and submit your work now.
When a mama and daddy moved into the house across the street.
Hi, I'm Ray Hollister.
I'm Tom Braun.
And we're the guys from Deemable Tech.
Hey, if you've got a question about your computer, mobile phone, tablet, or the internet...
And who doesn't?
We're here to help.
Join us Thursdays during Morning Edition and All Things Considered here on WJCT.
And check out our podcast online at deemable.com.
That's deemable.com.
Looking for fresh music? Join us weeknights at 7 for After Hours. You'll hear everything from jazz to electronica, only on 89.9 FM After Hours.
When Ted Cruz announced his presidential run this week, he said it's time to reclaim the Constitution of the United States. On the next Fresh Air, we talk about Cruz's interpretation of the Constitution and what shaped that interpretation with Jeffrey Toobin, who profiled Cruz in The New Yorker. Toobin is a staff writer at the magazine and is CNN's senior legal analyst. Join us. Weekdays at noon on 89.9 WJCT, community-supported public radio.
WJCTnews.org is your source for the latest local, national, and international news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Podcasts of your favorite local stories and shows, the WJCT First Read every weekday morning, and playlists from all of our after-hours music programming. From your computer or mobile device, see it all at WJCTnews.org.
Welcome back, and finally this hour, you don't want to miss the incredible show at the Alhambra Theater, Friends, a tribute to Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers. The two longtime friends and country legends, of course, are loved by millions. And right now in studio, we have the stars of the show, and they are dead ringers for Kenny and Dolly. I am not kidding you. Richard Hampton and Sandy V. Anderson, good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just can't even believe it. Richard, you know that website, guyswholooklikekennyrogers.com?
Yes.
You should be the top vote getter on that site.
You know, I had somebody call me about that, and I told
really?
Them, I said, don't do it. Because the pictures that I was seeing in there really kind of scared me.
I'm gonna name check a lady in town named Marilyn Young, the former editor of the Florida Times Union, now the editor of the Financial News and Daily Record. She's got to come see this show. She's Kenny Rogers' number one fan. Marilyn, if you're listening, I've got Kenny in the studio.
Marilyn, you better show up.
And we've got Dolly. Sandy Anderson, you, of course, have charmed audiences around the world. You've even duetted with Dolly. Is that right?
We've sung a few times together. Yeah. And Kenny, I've sung with the Kenny. Real Kenny.
Is it surreal to do that? What's it like?
Oh, it was a treat to be able to sing with Dolly. I think she's just as nice as she appears to be. She is that way backstage, too.
And so tell us a little bit about the show, because this music is loved by so many, and the rapport between the two of you, I'm sure.
Well, we're just old friends, you know.
Well, that is one of the duets that we're doing. Kenny and Dolly came out with a brand new duet called You Can't Make Old Friends.
Uh-huh.
And needless to say, we had to work that one up. And
that's why the name of the show is Friends.
Friends,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, it's a great song, and the only thing we talk about is that it's too short. It's just such a neat song. But it's great, and we do enjoy working together. That's very evident. I think you'll see that when you see us on stage, too. It's all legit.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have a special treat right now, because Sandy and Richard are going to sing my favorite Kenny and Dolly duet.
You going to sing with us?
No, I would not spoil this for our listeners.
Oh, you're invited.
It's Islands in the Stream from the Alhambra show, Friends, a tribute to Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers. Take it away.
Baby, when I met you, there was peace unknown. I set out to get you with a fine-tooth comb. I was soft inside. There was something going on.
You do something to me that I can't explain. Hold me closer and I feel no pain.
Every beat of my heart,
we've got something going on.
Tender love is blind. It requires a dedication. All this love we feel needs no conversation. We ride it together, making love with each other, islands in the stream, that is what we are. No one in between, how can we be wrong? Sail away with me to another world, and we'll rely on each other. Aha, from one lover to another, aha.
I can't live without you if the love is gone. Everything means nothing if you got no one, and you just walk in the night, just slowly losing sight of the real thing.
That won't happen to us, and we got no doubt. Too deep in love, and we got no way out. And the message is clear, this could be the year for the real thing.
No more will you cry, baby, I would hurt you never.
We start and end as one, in love forever. We can ride it together,
aha,
making love with each other,
aha.
Islands in the stream,
that is what we are.
No one in between, how can we be wrong? Sail away with me to another world, and we'll rely on each other,
aha.
From one lover to another,
aha.
Early all to right. be singing.
It's Islands in the Stream.
It is
my
early.
Coffee. I need some coffee.
I can relate, guys. It's Richard Hampton and Sandy V. Anderson, the stars of Friends, a tribute to Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers, opening tonight at the Alhambra Theater.
Yeah.
Thanks for giving us this warm-up this morning.
It literally was a warm-up.
Trust me when we say this was a warm-up.
Well, it's going to be a great show, and it's only through Sunday, so Marilyn Young and everyone else that's listening out there, get your tickets at Alhambra Jacks.
It's nice to get out of Las Vegas and come out here, too.
It's
nice to have you guys
It's
here.
Nice to be here.
Thank you so much for being with us.
It's our pleasure, Melissa.
Again, tickets at alhambrajacks.com, only through Sunday. And that's our show. Thanks to all of our guests and callers. Our producer is Sean Birch. The show theme is composed and performed by the Jacksonville Symphony Orchestra's Pyotr Shevchuk. Send your feedback to First Coast Connect, WJCT.org, with questions and comments about the show. And our daily podcast is now up on iTunes. Next on Diane Rehm, nearly 10,000 U.S. military personnel remain in Afghanistan after combat forces withdrew last year. Diane explores a meeting between U.S. and Afghan officials this week, prospects for congressional approval of additional troops, and the future of security in the region. That's next. I'm Melissa Ross, and you're listening to First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT-FM Jacksonville, your community, your world. On tomorrow's show, a closer look at the Year of the River Initiative. That's tomorrow. Have a great day.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.